Wrex Radio Sport, driven by Wrex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting wrexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Hello, good evening, welcome to Saturday Sport Classified. You're tuned to Manx Radio AM. I'm Dave Moore, coming up a round of what's been happening with sport across the island. We'll have scores from football, hockey and rugby. We'll be looking ahead to tonight's FC Isle of Man live commentary game against Barnton. And there's the draw for hockey's men's cup, the ladies' cup plus the men's plate and the ladies' plate. And also, with 18 weeks to go until the return of the TT, we'll be hearing from the fastest sidecar crew ever, around the mountain circuit. That's Ben and Tom Birchall. Plus, Johnny Bagnall, the manager of Dean Harrison's Dow Racing team, is also a guest. But first, the headlines tonight. And there's a massive shock at the top of football's Premier League. But no shocks at the top of the second division. Defeats for the top two in ladies division two in hockey. While Douglas rugby team miss out on a win due to a last second conversion. It's all coming up in the next hour and a half. And of course, the FC Isle of Man live game tonight against Barnton, which you'll hear here live on Manx Radio FM. AM, sorry. So let's crack on with the scores from today, starting with football and in the Canada Life Premier League. Corinthians 4, Russian United 1. Douglas Old Boys 0, Ramsey 1. Moran 3, Laxey 3. Ramsey Youth Centre All Boys 0, St George's 3. And Union Mills 2, Douglas Royal 2. Division 2, Douglas and District 3, Onchan 8. Foxdale 5, Braddon 1. Maloo 4, Douglas Athletic 1. Paul Rose 5, Michael United 0. And St John's United 8, Governors Athletic 2. On to Canada Life Combination 1. Douglas Royal 3, Union Mills 0. Laxey 6, Moran 3. Ramsey 2, Douglas Old Boys 6. Russian United 3, Corinthians 1. And in Combination 2, Braddon 1, Foxdale 0. Colby 1, Castletown 1. Governors Athletic 0, St John's 7. Michael versus Paul Rose is a late score. And finally, Onchan 3, Douglas and District 1. On to rugby. Douglas 22, Glossop 22. And in the Manx Bowl, Ramsey B 10, Emerging Nomads 37. And Vagabonds 41, Western Vikings 20. Moving on to the hockey scores. Beginning with Rossborough Men's Premier League. Vikings 3, Ramsey 1. Vikings B 2, Valkyries 6. Backers 7, Valkyries B 0. Rossborough Women's Premier League. Ramsey 0, Valkyries 3. Backers 3, Valkyries B 2. Vikings 6, Castletown 0. Rossborough Men's Division 1. Harlequins 6, Vikings C 0. The game between Castletown B and Backers B is a late result. Rossborough Women's Division 1, Backers B 5, Valkyries C 3. Castletown B 1, Vikings B 0. Rossborough Men's Division 2, Castletown Colts 2, Ramsey B 2. Valkyr C 1, Backers C 2. Backers Colts 0, Harlequins B 6. And Rossborough Women's Division 2, Backers C 1, Castletown Colts 2. And Ramsey B 2, Vikings C 1. So those are the scores. We'll bring you the ones that we've not got later in the programme. First of all, before we go to Dave Christian with the rugby and Sam Spooner for the hockey, we'll bring in Tony Meppham for the football. And Tony, the only place to start really is the game I think you were at today, and that was between Corinthians and Russian. Russian pushing for the title with Air United. Air United not playing today. Russian really need to keep the pressure up. But boy, did they let themselves down.
I wouldn't say they let themselves down, Dave.
4-1, 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. Yeah, 4-1 is,
The way I look at it is the turning point was certainly the goalkeeper, Matthew Kajin, because I didn't really see what happened because the game was away from Matthew, but it sounds like he's pulled a muscle in his thigh or something, maybe a little bit worse because he's gone to hospital with it. But they had to sort of try and fix him up. They couldn't, so they had to change it round. And Aaron Hawley went in goal, and you know, you're taking away a goal scorer that scored quite a few goals this season for them. And I thought the first 10 minutes Corinthians did all right, they played quite well, but you just looked at Russian's results of late, Dave, and you just thought this is going to be really a tough afternoon for Corinthians. And the team was pretty well the same, pluses to be honest with you, because Furu Davies played, and I just thought, you know, this is going to be a busy afternoon for Adam in goal, Adam Killier. But the way it went, it was Ron came out of the game and then suddenly he was in goal and it just sort of opened up a little bit. But Jordan Watterson, who was on the pitch for about a minute, and his first touch was a penalty, and he scored from the penalty spot. Wow. To give them the lead. And then just before half time, another penalty awarded at the end, and both seemed to have little sort of different opinions from everybody, and it was Josh Ridings who got that one to make it 1-1. And then I just thought, Dave, at the start of the second half, that with the wind behind Russian, they were just going to sort of plough everything at Corinthians. But Corinthians managed to make it 2-1, and it was Matthew Kent Lloyd, and then Matthew Kent Lloyd got another one later on to make it 3-1. Russian had shots from distance, hit the bar and everything, but it just wouldn't quite go over the line for them. And then a great, superb fourth goal, because Cameron Lee, second half substitute, great ball up the right-hand side to Sammy Gellin, who it was a real pain when he came on because he was superb, and cross the ball in, and young Joe Middleton was there to make it 4. Russian would be really disappointed. And okay, Corinthians played a lot better than they have done. That was adamant. You could see that quite clearly. But it was just a bit of luck as well for Corinthians, you know, hitting the bar and efforts just going wide. But it is 3 points dropped by Russian. It's sort of advantage air a little bit. And I'm not saying Corinthians are back in the title race after that defeat last week. But it gives them a little bit of hope if things did go a little bit wrong in the Premier League.
You can't really see, I mean, okay, Russian slipped up today, but you can't really see the pair of them slipping up, can you? Between now and the end of the season?
Who, Air United?
Air and Russian.
Air United, it's one of those. I've watched Air, and Sean Kelly's a massive, massive player for them. They're a good side, Air. But as we've seen recently, when they're away from home, it's a little bit different for them because that pitch is small. It plays to their strengths. But when they come against one of the top sides, I think it's a little bit harder for them to break down. They've got Corinthians to play. They've got Russian to play. I think they've got Ramsey to play as well, right up there. They were third this morning and still up there. So I think it just shows you how football was. But I just thought the second half with that wind, that Corinthians were just going to sort of have to defend. But they didn't. They attacked. They kept the ball on the deck. And they got 3 goals, and well done to them.
So conditions were brutal?
Not too bad, because it was really hard to understand the wind.
It's exposed up there, isn't it?
It's exposed, but like today, it was just before half time. The wind was really strong. The rain started as well. And I just thought to myself, you know, this is going to be really difficult for Corinthians to deal with in the second half. But when they came out for the second half, the wind had gone. And that's maybe where Corinthians capitalised with 2 quick goals. But Russian will be disappointed, but they're right in there still. They've got a great opportunity to win the league this season, and today's just a bit of a blip, but well done to Corinthians for showing a little bit of steel, and to me, their best performance this season.
Yeah, so that was a great result for them and a great result for Ramsey away at Old Boys.
Superb result. I haven't got Ramsey's goal scorer. I've been flicking through the phone. I haven't got anything there. But at lunchtime, I said it would be tight. Old Boys have been playing really well, scoring plenty of goals. But whatever happened today, give Ramsey credit. And you take note of this one because they beat Corinthians last week. They've beaten Old Boys today. Then it shows that Ramsey have got a really good side and everyone there will be happy.
Yeah, and I mean, are they in the title race still? Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, on the outskirts of it?
On the outskirts of it, and I'm not being against them in any way, but they've got Russian to play twice, I think, Air to play. So that's a big, big ask. And
but also a great opportunity. You're not relying on other clubs to take those points away off the two teams you're chasing. That's in your hands.
Definitely, and they've got a good young team, and I've said for the last couple of years they'll just get better and better, and they have. They've got a few experienced players in there, like Matthew Montgomery. They've also got Jamie Moffat back in there. He's been scoring goals for them. So, it's up to them. But this season I still look over consistency and how they've played. And like when you look at Russia today, okay, they had Furu Davies there, but Mikey Williams isn't playing. He's in FC Isle of Man. You've got Jack Camardo, okay, he's at college, but he's playing for FC Isle of Man. You've got Alex Maitland as well, Dean Kearns. They've lost a lot of players, but they seem to have been able to sort of cover them. The younger players, Jamie Cadwallader has stepped up big time. Cameron Dudley as well, good young player coming through. They're getting better. Another new player came in today, so it's looking good for Russian, and if they get the FC Isle of Man players back like Furu Davies today, then it just adds more strength.
Not so good for the Town's other team. Youth Centre today going down at home, as you'd expect, to St George's.
Yeah, but I think that's a reasonable result. 3-1 it finished up.
Oh, was it 3-1?
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah. Johnny Myers has sent me through. Thanks, Johnny. But Chris Bass got one. Josh Kane got a goal. And Carl Gart got the other one. But Old Boys are another team that, you know, depleted with sort of players. They've got injuries as well now to contend with. And Ramsey, you said, put up a fair battle today.
So what's the story with St George's? I mean, they've dominated Manx football in recent years, 4 years, until the last few, until the last couple of years. So what's happened with them?
Well, I think the thing is with St George's, I wouldn't say it was all coming to an end, but the players were all sort of getting older together. You know, when you look at Johnny Myers, Chris Bass, Julian Ringham, Callum Morrissey, Sean Quay. You know, in years to come, those five names will never be forgotten because their trophy cabinets are absolutely bulging. Mm-hmm. And they've been a credit to not only the Ireland team, now two of them are playing for FC Isle of Man, but just it was an era that I don't think it'll be matched in my time anyway. I know we've had Russians, we've had Peels. I wasn't there to witness them. Mm-hmm. But certainly St George's have been phenomenal, and that's why they've done so well. But I think they had a lot of good young players there who are good players, who were expected to be the replacements, and they've all gone off to other clubs. So for whatever reason that was, they couldn't get in maybe because when you think of it, those players are now, what, Sean Quay, and that would be 37-ish. But, you know, a couple of years ago, those younger players probably thought they should get into that first team, and you're not going to knock players like that out.
Yeah.
And they've just gone on to other clubs, and to be fair, some have gone to Douglas Royal, some went to Old Boys, and you know, they just want to play football.
Okay. So the remaining two fixtures in the Premier League today both ended in draws. High scoring one with Moran and Laxey. That must have been a good one.
Well, the story on this one was that Moran were 3-0 down.
Wow.
And they got it back to 3-3.
Is that going to be the wind then, do we think?
I would say so, because it can happen. And just waiting to see if we've got a text through yet with the goal scorers. No, we haven't yet. But for Laxey, I've got their goal scorers. Brody Patience with two. Michael Fernandez with the other one. So, yeah, game of two halves. I wouldn't have thought it would be too windy where it was. But whatever it was, great second half performance by Moran to get it back to 3-3.
Just looking down, Union Mills against Douglas Royal. That was a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, and this was a good battle as well. And got a bit of a match report on this one. But let's have a little look at it.
I'll tell you, before you look at that, I can give you the Moran scorers.
Go on then.
Okay, so Moran scorers were Mike Collister,
yep.
Cam Avery,
yep.
Alex Macquarie.
Alex Macquarie, brilliant.
There you are.
Well, I've got here, it was 2-0 up, this is Union Mills, and it ended up 2-2. Should have been done and dusted, should have been 5 up, it says here. Harry Horbury played an absolute blinder, and kept them in it. Unimills have got a full squad now and the performances are starting to pick up and we are starting to show how good we are. However, massively disappointed not to take all 3 points, and it actually feels like a loss. Scorers were
Kyle Uren,
Luke Booth
and Luke Booth,
Kyle
yeah.
Uren.
Yeah,
now, if you go back to another one, because let's give Douglas Royal the opportunity to have their little say as well. And there we go. Douglas Royal came from 2-0 down to get a point. Very scrappy game in awful conditions. But Douglas Royal are happy that they battled for that point and a tough point gained. 20 points higher than they've had since returning to the top flight so far this season. So that's incredible turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why. Because you've just said now, you know, St George's, these young players, where have they gone? And a lot of them went to Douglas Royal, and it just shows it's improved them. So they've stayed in football. They've just gone to a different club.
So have you done any maths and let us know? Is that, especially at the top, what's the situation with Air United and Russian now then?
Well, my understanding is that Russian now, I haven't got the league tables in front of me, but Russian now have played 2 games more than Air United. And so, you know, once Air plays play those 2 games and win them and get the points, then, you know, they're above Russian with a bit of space as well. But it's still all to play for. A lot of the top sides have still got to play each other, so I don't expect it to stay like that too long.
Okay. And down at the bottom?
Down at the bottom, well, with St Mary's...
That's right, it's only one going down.
They're down anyway. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Ramsey Youth Centre. But, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre, it's a long-haul slog for them. And I feel sorry for them because it's one of them. We were talking about it today up at Bala Fletcher, to be honest with you, with a couple of people who are watching, that it's a shame that it happens quite often where a club really battles hard to get promoted. They get promoted and then the players sort of leave them and it just leaves them with a tough season ahead.
Yeah.
But fair play to them, they're hanging in there. And today they'll take a lot from that result, even though they lost 3-1.
Okay, so teams that are looking to do the same as they did and gain promotion from Division 2 will start with St John's United, league leaders. Big win for them over Governors Athletic.
It certainly was, and 8-2. Two hat-tricks, Dean Lees got 3. Well done, Liam. Liam Harrison got 3. Lewis Taylor and Kieran Court were the goal scorers. Only 2-1 at half-time, so Governors did a real good job in the first 45 minutes. But Brett Kitching got a goal, or the first one for Governors Athletic, and Chris Carrez got the other one. So Governors 2 goals, and against the top side, take some doing.
And Onken, they're obviously in the promotion hunt, and they were also finding the back of the net 8 times.
Yeah, scored 8, conceded 3, so good performance by them. Tom Creer on the score sheet again, another hat-trick for him. Paul Whitley got 2, Barry English got 2, and Ethan Levers for Douglas and District, Daniel Stewart Clegg, Dan Robinson and Sam Tipper scored 1 from the penalty spot.
Also in the promotion hunt, Malou, 4-1 winners over Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, just that scores the first information I've had of that. Have you got any goal scorers on that?
I will find some goal scorers, but it's an important again for Malou to stay in the hunt for the for that. Yes, I have. But for Malou to stay in the hunt, you know, to be in the picture for promotion, I mean, it's a long time since they were in the top division, Malou, wasn't it?
Well, definitely, Dave, and I remember them being in the top flight. But,
me too.
But when you look at St John...
You're talking about 30 years or 40 years ago, aren't you? Yeah. It'd be about 40 years, actually.
Yeah.
Be back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they had a great team then. But St John's winning, Foxdale winning, Onken winning. You know, Malou, they needed one of the top sides to drop points. But they've got games
still
in hand.
Yeah, they're
so
still in there.
They're right in it.
So it was 2 goals for Jamie Skillen.
Yep.
A goal for Craig Cowan and Daniel Thurwell.
Excellent.
Professional display, second half to take the win. A real battle in horrific winds. That's the information I have on that. You mentioned Foxdale. That would be brutal up there as well, I would imagine, at Billy Goat Park. 5-1 winners over Braddon.
Yeah, well, one or two of the pitchers have struggled today, and you would have put Foxdale in there. I'm just having a look to see if Alan Lemaire has been in touch. Yes, he has. Well done, Aaron. And Foxdale today, 5-1 winners. Aaron Castain with 2. Jason Charmer got 2 goals and Kevin Pullman got 1. Jay Chatwood on the bench with a slight groin strain. I wonder why he hadn't scored. It was 4-0 to them at half-time. But Ollie Waite, 16 years of age, it's only his second game in senior football with the goal for Braddon. So well done to Ollie.
Brilliant. And just on Braddon, because they're a team that have had their woes in late, you know, struggling to find players and getting a team together. How's it looking for Braddon at the moment?
It's looking superb at the moment. Really is. And I think, you know, fair play to them. They've got a really good under-16s team. And, you know, the under-18s, they've just won the eight-a-side competition down at the Bowl. And they're starting to filter through now. I think that must be five or six that have come through. So Will Smith's done a great job there. Yeah, you know, they've struggled to have two teams and stuff like that. But I think they've got a really good team coming together here. You know, tight little pitch where they're playing. But, no, it bodes well for them. And they'll be looking to replicate what they did two or three years ago, where they won the league and the cups. So, you know, they're a really good side then. And against Foxdale today, young players can only learn from some experienced players, and that's what's happened.
And Paul Rose United, a good win over Michael United.
Yeah, 5-0. And Dylan Vick got three goals, and Owen Canepa got two, so a better performance.
Oh, I've got Owen Canepa one, and I've got Callum Dunn as a goal scorer.
Okay, you could be up to speed. Yep.
Yeah, so but Dylan Vick with a hat-trick. Yeah, Owen Canepa and Callum Dunn.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, it's as you were really at the top of the division in Division Two, isn't it? Yep. All the top teams win. On to Combi One then, and the game. Let's start with the big scoring game, the Laxey Morround 6-3.
And I haven't got any scorers on that one.
All right, okay. While you're telling us about how fantastic a game that must have been, I'll have a quick look to see if we'll come back to Laxey Morround then. But a big win for Old Boys away at Ramsey, 6-2. And I have goal scorers for that.
I've got goal scorers for both of them. For Douglas High School Old Boys, they led at half-time, 2-1. Mikey Booth, Dean France, Mark Wolfenden with another hat-trick for him. Jake Wilson got the other for Ramsey. It was Carlo Craig and Rowan Jez who got the other goal. So that's a good result for Old Boys and keeps them in the hunt at the top of the table.
The information I have on that game, no, that was it. No scores, I'm afraid, on the Laxey game. So, Russian against Corinthians, a home win for the Southerners.
It was, and from what I'm hearing, if it's right, Corinthians led with about 10 minutes to go. And it was Jake Hicks who got the goal for Corinthians. But for Russian, it was Luke Roberts for two and Ashley Blake with the other one. But certainly, Russian, great performance in the last 10 minutes to get the points away from Corinthians.
And Douglas Royal with a 3-0 win at home over Union Mills.
Yeah, and Jackson Gatt with one. Dom Smith got the second goal. And Stuart Foley with the third. Good result.
A correction, I think, in combination two. Now, in the full-time classified, I said it was 7-0 to St John's. Apparently, I've been told that was the half-time score, and the full-time was 14-0.
Correct.
Right,
correct.
Okay, there you go. I don't know where I got the half-time score from, but yeah. So 14-0 for St John's.
Three hat-tricks, right, so it makes it a bit easier. That's nine goals for three of them.
Yeah.
Harry Rothwell with three, Sam Beatty with three, and Pedro Cardoza with a hat-trick as well. Kieran Lees with one, Adam Menton got one, Marco Herrera with a single goal, and then Stephen Chadwick got two, so that's 3-6 now, 14 goals. So good result that for the league leader, St John's.
Not such a good result for Governors. Colby 1, Castletown 1.
And a tight game this, 0-0 at half-time. Ash Sansbury scored from the penalty spot for Castletown, and I think you might have the Colby
Jacob Ladd, I'm told, was the goal scorer, his first goal for Colby.
Well done to him.
Well done. So, yeah, that was 1-1. Braddon with a 1-0 victory over Foxdale.
Yeah, tight game, and Shearer. Not the Shearer, Alan Shearer. This is Adam Fair. Got the goal. Well done, Adam. 1-0 to Braddon.
Onken with a 3-1 win over Douglaston District.
Yeah, keeps them in touch at the top of the table as well. It was 2-1 at half-time. Joseph Waddington was the goal scorer for D&D, but for Onken, it was Jordan Corkish, Greg Taylor, and Bernard Aspel got the other one.
And the final result was 7-2 for Michael over... Sorry, it wasn't. Michael Paul Rose, what score do you have?
3-0, I had later score, but we didn't have the final score.
We didn't get
through
the final score on that, so we're still waiting on that one. Okay, so we've got FC Isle of Man coming up as well, but before that, we want to talk about what's happening tomorrow.
Yes, the Women's Floodlit Cup, and I know you follow women's football, Dave, with your daughter playing, but last week we had the two semi-finals. Did you go
down? I saw the first semi-final. It was a good win for Corinthians, as expected. Onken are an emerging side, of course. Corinthians very much established. Corinthians played very well, as you'd expect. I think the difference between the two teams, Corinthians were playing... when they played out the back was with confidence, and they played and were passing to feet, whereas Onken, when they played it out, tended to kind of... It was a bit kick and rush a little bit from them.
Yeah.
A little bit more composure at the back in going forward. and just trying to find their midfield players. Maybe they'd have made a bit more of a fight of it, perhaps. I mean, they did make a fight of it. The game was not... you'd think 8-0 and you just think they're getting battered. But they weren't getting battered. It was a good game between the two sides. Onken struggled to make it into the final third. But, it was the thing was that I found with Onken was when the defenders had the ball, they were tending to boot it. A little bit afraid maybe of themselves in finding feet, finding their own midfielders. And if they'd tried that, they would have been in with a bit more of a chance, I think, and maybe have created a little bit more, perhaps. But
it was always going to be difficult when the draw was made. And I watched Corinthians against Douglas Royal in the league game, and they played very well. They've got some really good young players who are coming through. People like Stevie Mallon and that, they're getting picked up by professional clubs now.
She's played for Chester.
That's right. So, it's always going to be difficult. But the second one I watched, Douglas Royal, different team to when they played against Corinthians the week before. And I just thought that they had a real go at Peel. But Peel are strong and there's some really good players there. And Sarah Wignall scored an absolute peach and scored a hat-trick in the end. But Sarah O'Reilly just reads everything at the back. You've got Elna Gorn who... just terrific player, great engine, great passes of ball. You got Becky Corkish there as well, who, they just play some really good football, and it's going to make for a great final at the bowl.
I think so.
The weather conditions don't look too bad. It's 2:45 kickoff.
That's right,
at the bowl, and the two finalists from last year are in the final again this year.
But you'd have Corinthians as slight favourites?
I don't know. The reason why I say that is I watched Peel at the first game of the season against Corinthians at Douglas Road. And Peel thoroughly deserved it and looked awesome. I think since then, Corinthians have looked really good. Players like Nicola Townsend are finding their feet in the team now. You've got, just so much experience in there. When you look at them over the last few years, they've been a real consistent side, haven't they? So it's going to be a great game of football, and I'm looking forward to watching the two teams, and may the best team win.
The only disappointing thing, I think, was that Corinthians had no subs last week. So, they were really stretched with... fielding a team, and I'd like to think hopefully that tomorrow with the final that they will be able to have maybe a squad of players to pick from.
Yeah, it does happen because the young girls, a few of them work on a Sunday, and it's a big game they manage to change their shifts around a little bit.
I know one of them was saying exactly that when they got through the final. She said, oh, I'm working next Sunday, I've got to try and get the time off.
Yeah, it happens. And also the other one is injuries. If you're carrying a few injuries, with Onken, they could bring in some players who maybe haven't played too much this year, and that helps them to gain experience in there. But I'm sure they'll be fine tomorrow. But Peel have a full-strength squad, and they're strong right the way through. And they actually play each other again, Dave, next week in the league because it's just the way it's worked out with the final. And then they go back on grass to play their remaining five grass fixes.
Just, I don't know if you can answer this or not. Obviously, Colby, we lost them just before Christmas. And some of their girls have gone to Onken and Castletown, etc. I mean, do we know with any chances that any of the other girls could be picked up by other clubs? Or is that just down to the girls? Or, is there anything that can be done to encourage them to join other, strengthen the squads of the existing teams?
Yeah, Simon Elson, who's the Women's Football Development Officer, has been in touch with them and been in touch with Colby. And the problem is, which I fully understand, and this year the league was to be split at the halfway stage, Dave. So there's seven teams, including Colby. The top three would play each other three times, and then the next four would play each other.
To keep an even balance. So you're not going to have your 12 nils every week and what have you, trying to make it a little more a level playing field.
And it's hard because, like Union Mills, you've got sort of Colby in there as well, Castletown. They play a massive part in women's football, but you've got those three teams in Douglas Royal, Peel and Corinthians who are just a little bit stronger.
That's right.
Onken have done really well to come into the league, and the first season of Ask is to get to the final of the Floodlit Cup. But yeah, the players have gone somewhere else. Hopefully Colby will come back into it next year, and it's really hard in women's football. But I went to watch Ireland training on Wednesday, and there's some terrific young players coming through, which you will have seen more than me, Dave, because you've been following your daughter. Mm. So there's some real talent coming through.
There is some really, really good talent. So, it bodes well for the game. But we just need a few more. That's it. And if we can encourage a few more. And I think the little problem, without going into this too deeply, but as I say, it's again that those teenagers, that the game, I think hockey would do the same, and even rugby, that they lose perhaps when they reach... 14, 15, 16, and, you know, with, at the younger age, as they approach their teenage years, there's loads.
Yeah.
It just seems, I mean, there's other distractions, et cetera, that come along, blah, blah, blah. And if we can just keep on to a few more that come, that, you know, the younger ones that are there at the moment, the 10-year-olds, 11, 12-year-olds, keep on to them, keep them in the game, keep them going. And then, you know, maybe we could get back to, who knows, the days when we had 12 women's football teams in the Isle of Man.
No, you're right. And we've tried everything, Dave. And, you know, I'm looking at Sammy here with hockey. And, you know, when you look at netball and stuff like that, players can play under 16. Football are not allowed. And it's not the Isle of Man FA.
I know.
It's the English FA just say it can't happen. We asked them for special dispensation. No. We asked them, could we get parental consent? No. And then we got a little bit of a hint that there might be some movement where they might sort of trial us for 15-year-olds to play, but they still haven't given us the permission. And when you see these 15-year-olds, when they turn 16, they come in, and they're absolutely brilliant technically. Yeah. And just here's one for you, Dave, is the Youth Games started this
week. That's right, they launched it on Monday.
And it started this week. And normally, you know, the first set of training sessions and stuff, because they're trying to find out a sport that they like, and then they carry it on. Football at its highest ever. Just short of 160 girls played football on, I think it might have been Wednesday. So the interest is there. You can't say that, you know, women's football's not there in England, because it's really high, and, you know, some of the wages the players are getting there is absolutely brilliant. There's two or three of the younger players on the island who are with clubs now connected, but it's just, you know, trying to drive it on in the Isle of Man, it's really difficult, but it's good to see that young players are staying in there, even though they might have moved clubs to play in the game.
Yeah, I've just had a message here actually from Castletown Ladies, just to say that they have training on Wednesday at the stadium, 6:30 to 8. All welcome, you and old players, very friendly and welcome. So especially if any Colby players, or any, if you knew anyone that played for Colby, get down to Castletown and join in. You know, don't be shy. You know, that's it can be so daunting sometimes. Just go along, and, you know, within time you'll you know that as they say, they're a very welcoming club. And they'd like to get more players. And, let's get the women's game going. You know,
They've got great facilities. There's always support from the fellow clubs, you know, Corinthians, Peel, Douglas Royal, who've been there for a long, long time. There's always good support from the men's side. Island Games, you know, 2023 in Guernsey. Men and women are hopefully going to go. It's just the money. Situation, but we'll be sort of pushing really hard to get football there. Like any other sports, it's a costly business.
You're not doing tonight's commentary game. I think it's Steve Burns. He's going to be co-commentating alongside Rob Pritchard. So a quick word then about FC Isle of Man tonight at home to Barnton.
Yeah, I spoke to Chris Cannell today and just said, what's up, Chris? Because Chris has been immense, I think, over the last three or four games. But a little bit of a groin strain, so he's sitting this one out. Good to see other players given the opportunity. Adam Cool in there, which is good to see. But also, just the way they're playing, Dave. Last week was a great performance against a really strong team. And I'm hoping for more of it tonight. I'll listen to the first half on the radio. And then, unfortunately, it's my wife's special birthday. So I've got to take my good lady and her two children out. Otherwise, I think I'll be in trouble.
Just another, I've had a Combi 2 result in. Michael United 3, Paul Rose United 0. So we were waiting for that
one.
So confirmation that a 3-0 win for Michael. Barnton. Not one of the strongest sides in the division, are they?
No, they've done well of recent. And the thing is, though, with FC Isle of Man, and I'm not too sure, Dave, what the score was with West Didsbury and New Mills today, because first and second were playing each other. And I didn't hear the score because it's been a race getting the results together. But, you know, someone there in the top two has lost points today. Even if they've drawn, you know, they've had a right good battle, I think. So we'll try and find out what the score was, but with FC Isle of Man playing at 6:30, it just means that they know the score, they know what's coming. But, you know, Barton flew in this morning, and the crowd's been immense again, real good support, but there can be no complaints. The performances that they're putting in, every single player is giving themselves 100% to the game, and it's great to see. I thought last week the goals going in towards the end as well just made it a fair result, and they were a really good side last week, and we managed to get the win.
Unfortunately, no score on that. There was a 3 o'clock kickoff, but just had a quick look at the website, and yeah, they've not unfortunately they've not put the score up so far. So Yeah, because West Didsbury, they're top, 5 points ahead of New Mills, but with a game in hand. The Isle of Man, 3 points behind New Mills. So the thing I think really is you'd be hoping for a New Mills win to keep West Didsbury back and keep the Isle of Man, FC Isle of Man, with a chance of getting automatic promotion from this division.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, you know, I keep looking at it, OK, if it's a big, big ask, as long as they can get that second spot. Because the way it is, Dave, second place, fifth at home, and third play fourth at home.
That's right. Yeah,
so
the playoffs, yeah.
It'll be, you know, interested just to see how that goes, because they've got Brockton next week away. And then the week after that, they've got two games, haven't they? One on the Saturday, one on the Sunday. The reason why that is, people have said, what's going on? I was told that they were going to play it midweek and it was going to be really complicated. Everyone's working and everything. So they agreed to play it on the Sunday as well. Chris has got a big squad there. They're all on it. You know, whatever player you take out, you put a new player in, seems to be able to cover it, not a problem. So that's why they've gone for two games in 2 days.
OK, so you won't be there tonight, unfortunately, but you'll be listening. Yeah, definitely. So, OK, thanks very much, Tony Mebbin. Just a quick mention, maybe, Masters football tomorrow, Governors Athletic versus Douglas Royal, and Laxey versus Colby, which is at Colby. So, yeah, Masters football still
going. I think Laxey against Colby will be a super game, two of the top sides in Masters football. I expect Laxey to win that one, and Governors against Douglas Royal. Royal have been missing out a while, so a little bit run rusty, but against Governors Athletic, I think they should just be able to edge that victory.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for your time, Tony. And, I recommend the lamb, don't forget. So there you go. Before we go to hockey and Sam Spooner, let's hand over to Dave Christian with a roundup of what happened today in rugby.
Yes, good afternoon, or good evening even, Dave. Disappointment for Douglas today at Portishee. Glossop snatched a last-minute draw, 22-22 at finish there in North 1 West. Douglas picked up 2 points from the draw. Glossop picked up three. They scored four tries in the match, so get a try bonus point on top of that. But Douglas will be disappointed with this. They led 8-5 at half-time. It was a try from Charlie Henthorne on a Luke Highland penalty, and that just got the better of Glossop in the first half when Chris Sonzak had gone over for a try. In the second half, Douglas extended their lead with tries from Craig Martin and Luke Highland, both converted by Highland, and that seemed to be enough for the win, but Glossop hit back. There were tries from scrum half John Tennant, the centre Alex Hughes. That put them back in contention, and when Greg Moran went over in the last minute, that drew them to within 2 points and allowed Matt Sonzak to kick the conversion to give his side their 3 points on the road. Disappointment for Douglas, they head off Ireland next week. I have a feeling they're away at Bowden. And to make matters worse for them, their close rivals Broughton Park down there at the bottom end of the table, they had a home win against Kendal. You wouldn't have fancied that on paper beforehand, but they beat them 34-30, which means that Broughton Park pulled away from Douglas now. Douglas 11 points adrift from the team next above them in the table. But they are clear of the two bottom spaces, which could be the relegation trapdoor, assuming the RFU make a promotion relegation decision before the end of this season, given that there's some league restructuring coming in September 2022. So, disappointment for Douglas. Almost had it, but 2 points better than none. They move on, and hopefully Bowden away next week will give them a chance to maybe get some points on the road. Domestically, it was the opening rounds of the Ravenscroft Manx Plate. Two fixtures this afternoon. Vagabonds Hornets against Western Vikings up there at Ballot Fletcher, and Ramsey B against Emerging Nomads at the Murrick Park. The Hornets beat Western Vikings 41-20 up there at Ballot Fletcher. Cam Finley with a hat-trick for Vaggers. There were also tries from Matt Rockwell, Callum Murray, Mitch Wells and Cole Donnelly, with Tom Rowley and Cam Finley adding three conversions between them. Western Vikings, though, did score four tries. They pick up a bonus point for that. There was a hat-trick of tries from the skipper, Ed Knight, and also one from Gary Stevenson. At the Murrick Park, this was our featured game on Saturday Live this afternoon. It was Connor Cracknell went in for a try to give Ramsey B the early lead. But before half-time, Emerging Nomads had hit back, and there were tries from Tony Quinn, Percy Hampton and Pat Creer to give them a 15-5 lead at half-time. Hampton bagged his second midway through the second half to extend the lead. Nomads then had a little disciplinary blip. Ian Hargreaves was given a red card for a high tackle on Ramsey scrum half Nathan Robson. Nothing malicious in it. He's just fallen foul of the new rules. His tackle's a little bit high and he's caught neck or head area directly with a little bit of force. And that's an automatic red card under the current disciplinary rules. Nathan Robson perfectly okay after the tackle. A little bit dazed, but he got up quick enough. And that gave what Ramsey thought would be a little bit of an advantage for them for the final 10 minutes. They quickly scored. Chris King went over from a 5-metre scrum. That made it 20 points to 10. But in the closing stages, Nomads raced away from Ramsey despite only having 14 men. Tony Quinn went in for his second of the game. Leon Savage added one on his senior debut and converted it himself. And in the final minute, Ori Watterson raced in down the right wing to finish off proceedings with a score for Nomads. Early stages in the competition, it's difficult to say what the results will mean in the final analysis of it all. There's another five matches for both sides, for all four sides, so that'll come out in the wash. But at the minute, it's an early advantage for both Emerging Nomads and Vagabonds Hornets.
Thank you very much, Dave Christian. Reporting, we'll hand over to Rob Pritchard in a moment down at the bowl, but I have a result. And the result is New Mills 1, West Didsbury 2.
Ooh.
So there we go. So, I mean, it looks like West Didsbury are going to take that automatic position at the top of the league, but we'll see how things go. We'll join Rob Pritchard, who should be down at the bowl ahead of tonight's live commentary game, which you can hear on Manx Radio. Rob, how's things looking down there at the moment?
Good evening, Dave. Thanks very much for joining us. Things starting to build up rather nicely here. We've got the fans now making their way into the stadium and a couple of the players out starting out their warm-ups. Kick-off in around 45 minutes' time between FC Isle of Man and Barnton. And as you rightly pointed out there, that result in Derbyshire earlier today could have a good impact for FC Isle of Man if things go their way this evening. FC Isle of Man, if they do manage to get the 3 points here today against Barnton, they could go second in the table on goal difference due to Newmill's narrow defeat to the league leaders West Didsbury and Chorlton. So taking a look at this one, Barnton are the latest visitors to the bowl to try and halt FC Isle of Man's scintillating form at the start of 2022. 4 wins out of 4 so far. The last time these two sides met was back on the 13th of October, and FC Isle of Man comprehensive winners there, 6-1 winners away at Barnton, which incidentally is Barnton's heaviest home defeat of the season to date. On that day, there were 2 goals from Furo Davies, 2 from Sean Doyle, 1 from Lee Gale, and an own goal as well. Well, FC Isle of Man have been continuing their rich vein of scoring form in the last few games. They've had 17 goals scored in their last 6 games and 90 goals for the season so far. Plenty of chance that they could hit that 100 mark at some point in the next few weeks, but only time will tell. Well, a good 24 points separate FC Isle of Man up in third in the division and Barnton, who have themselves a nice 9-point cushion away from the relegation zone. However, going into this one, Barnton will be incredibly encouraged by their recent run of form. And they've only lost 1 game in their last 8 in all competitions, and that defeat was away to Stalybridge Celtic. That was a 4-1 defeat on the 18th of December, so just before Christmas. Their last league loss was even further back than that. On the 20th of November, they narrowly lost 2-1 to Alsager Town. Their biggest away win of the season is 2-0 against Ellesmere Rangers, and I'm sure given FC Isle of Man's recent run of form, they'd happily take a result like that if that result goes their way in the 90 minutes. And Barnton, well, they've had a very good defensive record over the last few games as well, but also they've been picking up their scoring form as well. It's been 10 games since they last failed to score, so the visitors, despite the points gap on paper between the two sides, they'll be feeling bullish about their own chances of getting themselves a result here today. But nevertheless, the Ravens themselves, they'll want to continue desperately that 100% record to the start of 2022, and in their eyes, hopefully lift themselves up another place in that table.
Excellent, Rob. Look forward to joining you again later. The kickoff is at 6:30. We'll be joining Rob down at the bowl for live coverage of tonight's game between FC Isle of Man and Barnton. Now, though, we're turning our attention to hockey. And before we look at today's games with Sam Spooner, we've got a few hockey draws to do, Sam.
Yeah, so we've got the Men's Cup, Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate and Ladies' Plate draws to do today. And we're going to start with the Men's Cup. And Tony Mappam has agreed to stay behind and draw the numbers for us.
Good man. So here we go.
First one out the bag is number 3.
So this is for the Men's Cup, is it?
Yes.
This is the Men's Cup.
So that's Valkyrie as 8.
We'll have a game against number 1.
Back as 8.
Third team out of the bag is number 2.
That's Ramsey 8.
number four.
And that's Vikings A. And the last one should be number five. And that's Vikings B, a bye into the semi-final.
Quick reaction to that, Sam?
Well, it's a good draw for Vikings B, that's for sure. They'll be enjoying a semi-final. Probably going to be a... Yeah, that's right, it's semi-final. So, yeah, so they're going to enjoy... Is that right? I'm struggling to figure this out. I'm trying to do maths in my head.
All right, okay. So yeah, you've had two.
There'll be another buy in the next. There'll be another buy in the next round. But yeah, I think Vikings B will be enjoying that rest weekend.
Okay, good. Right, good. You cleared that up anyway, and you've got that in your
six
mind.
Six in the bag for the Ladies' Cup.
So this is the Ladies' Cup now.
The first one out of the bag is
number three,
and that is Ramsey A.
They will play number one.
Back is A.
Second game, number four.
That is Valkyrie's A.
We'll play number six.
And they'll play Vikings A, so the two favourites play each other in the opening round.
Last game, number five.
Valkyrie's B.
And they will have a game against number two.
Casttown A. Now, interestingly, this last game, by Valkyrie's B versus Casttown A, whoever wins that will go into the final because there'll be a bye in the semi-final for this game.
Right, okay. Men's plate.
Nine teams.
So that's nine teams in the men's plate, yep. Yeah. One team will take a bye into the next round.
Give them a shake. First one out is number nine.
That's Vikings C.
Number seven.
And that is Ramsey B.
Second game, number six.
Harlequins B.
We'll play number one.
Backers B.
Number eight.
That's Valkyrie's C.
We'll play number three.
Castletown A.
And the fourth fixture is number five.
Harlequins A.
Against number two.
And that's Backers C.
And the bye is number four.
And Casttown B take a bye into the next round. So we need another one of nine for the ladies' plate. Probably the top game out of that one. They're all separated by leagues in this one, really. So all of the teams in Men's Division 1 are playing teams in Men's Division 2. So it's a chance for those teams in Men's Division 2 to show that they can compete at the highest level, especially for those that are in the sort of the promotion zones.
Excellent. Okay. So this is the ladies' plate now, our final draw. Okay.
Number seven.
Valkyrie's C.
Against number six.
Ramsey B.
Number five.
Harlequins. Probably the most people's favourites.
We'll play number two.
Backers C.
Third fixture is number three.
Castletown B.
Against number eight.
Vikings B.
In the final game, number one.
Backers B.
Against number four.
Castletown C.
And the bye is for number nine.
Vikings C have a bye into the next round. Probably their best game for this one. Casttown B, Vikings C. Close games between these ones, between these two sides this year. Narrow loss for Vikings B, 1-0 to Casttown B this weekend. So tight game in there.
Okay, great. That's the draws completed. Thank you, Tony, for providing the magic numbers. And
I'm going for the lamb.
You're going for the lamb. Good man. Excellent. Thanks to Tony. So, Sam, we've got some big games to look at, beginning with Rossborough Men's Premier League. The big game there today.
All three of them are pretty big games. Top three have been kept apart this week, but Ramsey A were looking to prove that they've got the credentials to sort of break into that top three.
But they didn't. They came short.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, they came short. I don't know what they're going to do when they lose Nat Smith, because he's just one of those players that really drives them forward. He scored for Ramsey A today in a 3-1 loss. Vikings A's goal scorers, Tom Wilson with two, and the returning, and hopefully staying, Nathan Evans on the score sheet for Vikings A.
Valkyrie's winning 6-2 against Vikings B.
Yeah, interestingly, due to miscommunication, the goalkeeper turned up without a goalkeeper's kit, thinking he was playing outfield.
Oh, right.
So for the first 10 minutes, they played with Jack Woods playing outfield. They then conceded a penalty stroke.
So
Jack went in nets
without
a keeper's kit on or anything, and saved the penalty. So big kudos to Jack Woods there.
Do we know how he saved it?
I don't want to know. As a goalkeeper myself, I really don't want to ask that question. I'll probably find out at training on Tuesday when I see him. But yeah, Valcaise, Ollie Webster with four, their go-to for goals this year. Steve Cottian and Luis Novo-Smith. And in Vikings B, Braden Masterton with a well-taken goal and Cameron Room on the score sheet of Vikings B. Both those players, 18 and under.
That's right, yeah, Braden's a youngster. Backers with a comprehensive win over Valcaise B.
Yeah, more or less expected, to be fair, although it was only 2-0 at half-time, so Valcaise B had a really good first-half performance. Carl Moore with two, then we've got Alex Lace, Elliot Reid, Andrew Whiting, Shea Christensen and Jamie Brown on the score sheet to keep them 2 points clear at the top of the table.
OK, so that's Rossborough Men's Premier League, Rossborough Women's Premier League, and a tight game between Backers A and Valcaise B.
I said this was probably a game that Valcaise B would want to target for a point, their first point of the season. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite to be. Kate Lace scoring on her Backers A debut. Iona Bridges, who scored twice for two teams today. And then Martha Broderick on the score sheet for Backers A to rescue the 2 points. But Valcaise B, what a performance. Bobby Hemsel and Andrea Lace on the score sheet for Valcaise.
Yeah, Martha Broderick's name keeps coming up week after week.
She's one of Backers' young stars that's going to be an absolute superstar in Manx hockey.
She's a good footballer as well, I can tell you. Valcaise with a 3-0 win away at Ramsey.
Yeah, it wasn't as easy as 3-0 seems to suggest. It was 1-0 half-time. Emily Kelly, Ellen Cleeter and Becky Pate on the score sheet for Valcaise. Keeps them just in touch with Vikings A at the top of the table. 3 points left in it. 8 left to play for after this weekend.
And a big win for Vikings over Castletown.
Yeah, 6-0, 3-0 half-time. Castletown just couldn't quite make it to the party today. Sarah Blackman with 3, Kim Carney with 2 and Mia Greenwood on the score sheet for the league leaders.
On to Rossborough Men's Division 1 and Harlequins with a 6-0 win as well, this time against Vikings C.
Yeah, really good performance from Harlequins A. I've been saying all season that Harlequins A are a team flush with talent. They just haven't been able to play as a team. And even though there is periods in this game today where they still didn't play as a team, when they did, they scored goals. And that should be a warning to them to say, look, this is what happens when we play well. This is what happens when we play as a team. And they performed incredibly today. Corey Corkle, one of my favourite young players on the island, with 2. George Powell with 2. Paul Nuttall with 1. And another one of my favourite young players, Alfie Swales, on the score sheet for Harlequins A. And an incredible performance for them.
I don't have the score for Castletown B. Backers B?
That came in late. That was a late pushback. Mm-hmm. So Backers B 14, Castletown B 1. Castletown B's goal was scored by Daniel Cross from a penalty stroke. Backers B's goal scorers, Craig Leese with 6, Harry Kalin with 5, Kian Ledwidge, Luca Pilato and Tom Barker for rounding off the scoring for Backers B. And I don't think anybody, including Castan A, are going to catch Backers B in that league now.
OK. Rossborough Women's Division 1, Backers B with a 5-3 victory over Valcaise C.
Yeah, Valcaise C won the first half 2-0. But Backers B, they're, on paper, when you look at the players they've got, they are the stronger side. And they really came back in the second half. 5-1, excuse me, 5-1 in the first half. Sam Franklin with 2, Iona Bridges again with another goal, Martha Broderick with another goal, Hope Goff for Backers B. Valcaise C's goal scorers were Lola Bass and Ruby Buchanan. Backers B climbed back into the title fight.
Excellent. And a tight game between Castletown B and Vikings B.
Yeah, last 2 minutes, Ashley Laschenschnick, I think that's how you pronounce his surname, scored the goal with a one-on-one with a goalkeeper against Vikings B. Interestingly enough, neither side are really in with a shout of beating Harlequins the title, but now Harlequins have had that week off this week, narrows the point at the top of the table to 3 points, but Harlequins can win the title next week if they beat Valcaise C.
I can't decide which is more brutal, Castle Rushen or King William's College pitches in conditions like that today.
You know what, Castle Rushen pitch is probably the worst because half the pitch is covered in moss and bits of tree, whereas King William's is just sandy. So I'd say Castle Rushen is the worst.
Okay. On to Rossborough Men's Division 2, Castletown Colts and Ramsey B with a draw.
Yeah, and I watched this game. It really was an end-to-end game. Probably say Castletown had the better of the attacking opportunities, couldn't quite make the most of it in the second half. Elliot Butler and Michael Pardo on the score sheet for Castletown Colts, and Ramsey B was Alex Shimmin and Seb Swithenbank.
Valcaise C going down 2-1 to Backers C.
Yeah, really, really tight game. Bottom of the table clash this as well, and it has turned things around a little bit. Valkai C now sits second from bottom, and thanks to a Colt's point, only a point ahead of the bottom place. Backer C move up into fourth with that Christian Davies and Richie Weir on the score sheet for Backer C.
And Harlequins B with a 6-0 win over Backer's Colts.
Yeah, Backer's Harlequins B, 6 points clear at the top of the table, 8 points left to play for. Depending on results next week, Harlequins could win the title. It's unlikely, but, you know, numbers have made a difference in the past. Ronan Santanatolio with four, Ben Cunningham and Aaron Blakemore on the score sheet for Harlequins B.
And on to Rossborough Women's Division 2, a victory for Castletown Colts over Backer's C.
Yeah, neither of the top two sides winning this week. Really well taken victory by Castletown Colts. Sophie Friggin with one goal and Ruby McCubbin with the other goal for Castletown Colts. Laura Corkle on the score sheet for Backer's C in what is proving to be an incredibly tight league.
Yeah, with Ramsey B beating Viking C 2-1.
Yeah, and this is the game that really tightened everything up in this table. 2 points separate the league leaders Backer's C and Ramsey B at the bottom of the table. So this is a really tight league. Any one of these sides could win this league. In terms of goals, there's only 7 goals separating it in goal difference across the leagues. I think this league is going to come down to a head-to-head. Who won the head-to-head battle with the second place or whatever. Because it doesn't go to goal difference first. That's after if head-to-head is level. But yeah, Ramsey B too, brilliant victory. I gave them no chance, so they really proved me wrong. Charlotte Brooks and Kiwi Crane on the score sheet for Ramsey B. 1-0 half-time score. Rachel Ward on the score sheet for Viking C. And I'm taking a great interest in this league.
Okay. Any mixed under-16s today?
There was three games, all like pushbacks. We had Backers versus Vikings. Backers 2, Vikings 7. Josh Dougal with 3. Alex Andrew, Molly Wheeler, Josh Keggan and Ben Dougal on the score sheet for Vikings. And then Sienna Millwood with 2 for Backers. And then we had Castletown versus Harlequins. Harlequins, the league leaders. Harlequins can win the title next week if they beat second-placed Vikings. Gemma Quayle with 2, Emma Warsfold, and somebody called Caleb. I didn't get the surname for that one for Harlequins. And then my favourite named team in all of Manx Hockey Leagues, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 1, Valkyries 3. Alex Shimmin on the score sheet for Ramsey Rogues and Rascals. And Valkyries was Alex Stewart with 1 and Oliver Freer with 2.
Excellent. Okay. I don't know how old you are, but whether you remember the old days before the artificial pitches of grass pitches and hockey. So, I mean, it's maybe doing a little bit of a disservice by...
I was very young, but I do remember my father playing on those. Groves Road was probably the worst muddy pitch I've ever seen.
And the bumps, it was like a roller coaster. Oh, yeah. So, okay. Sam... Excellent. Thanks for joining us again here at Manx Radio, and you'll be back again next week?
Yep.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so that wraps up hockey here in the Isle of Man.